All right, today's lighter than it actually was scheduled to be because I did things a little out of order to begin with, so we don't have quite as much as we usually would do today, which gives us plenty of time to do the laboratory part, which itself isn't all that complicated anyway. I got almost all the way through this slideshow last time, though. I think we already discussed 10. Yeah, that's eukaryotic and prokaryotic cells, so slide 11 is a look at DNA, one of the most famous molecules in the world, always being talked about in the news, so I'm sure everyone's heard of DNA. You might not know chemically how it's built and things like that, but DNA is a big deal in this class because at least the modern part of biotechnology, the stuff we do that's really technological nowadays, often involves DNA. Manipulation of DNA somehow. But what is DNA? I mean, I already told you that it's a molecule. It's a molecule that you find in living organisms. But what is it there for? It is a code, exactly. DNA has two major functions in cells. And every cell, whether it's a prokaryotic cell or a eukaryotic cell, any cell that is able to reproduce has DNA. Now, in a eukaryotic cell, that DNA is housed in its own nucleus, which is what makes it a eukaryotic cell. Where is that DNA found in a prokaryotic cell? It doesn't have a nucleus, but it does have DNA for the same reasons that all cells have DNA. I mean, nearly all cells start with DNA at least. Like, for instance, in your body, all your cells have DNA, but your red blood cells don't. They start out having DNA, but they get rid of that DNA in their development, which is one reason why red blood cells don't last very long. But they get rid of that DNA so they can pack the maximum amount of hemoglobin into themselves so that they can carry as much oxygen as possible, which is what their job is. But anyway, in a prokaryotic cell, it still has DNA for the same reason that all cells do, nearly all cells. It's just not in its own little chamber because a prokaryotic cell doesn't have a nucleus. What did I say is the region, name of the region where that DNA is found in a prokaryotic cell? At least I think I told you this. I didn't? Okay, maybe I'm thinking of my 181 class. The prokaryotic cell only has one compartment, right? Because it has only one membrane. What's that compartment called? What's all the stuff that's contained within a prokaryotic cell collectively called? It's called the cytoplasm. I gave you this word, right? Oh, I didn't? Well, no wonder. You shouldn't know this then. Cyte means cell. And plasm really just means stuff. So, cytoplasm literally means the stuff in the cell. And that's the only compartment in a prokaryotic cell because it only has one membrane, which is what called what? What's that one membrane it has called? The plasma membrane, yes. So all the stuff inside that is collectively called the cytoplasm. But that includes DNA. And the DNA, let's go back to the slide 10 just to look at a picture of cells. The DNA in a prokaryotic cell, even though it's part of the cytoplasm, is in its own little region within that cytoplasm. And we call that region the nucleoid. This is not the same thing as a nucleus, but what does the OID suffix mean? Yes, kind of like. So nucleoid literally means kind of like a nucleus. It's not a true nucleus because it's not enclosed by its own membrane, which is why that thing is a prokaryotic cell, not a eukaryotic cell. So the nucleoid is the part of the cytoplasm where you find the DNA in a prokaryotic cell. The nucleus itself, the true nucleus, is where you find the DNA in a eukaryotic cell. All right, now back to what DNA does. I mentioned a couple minutes ago that DNA has two major functions in cells. One of those functions has to do with the lifetime of that cell. The other one, really not so much about the lifetime of that cell, but the lifetime of the next generation of cells. So those two functions are to stand as a code, which you correctly identified, stand as a code for how to make other molecules. Now, those other kinds of molecules that the DNA code stands for making are RNA molecules. And there's different kinds of RNA. We'll talk about some later on in the term. But for in most cases, the kind of RNA that DNA is a code for how to make is something called mRNA, which is short for messenger RNA. And if the DNA tells the cell to make messenger RNA, then the DNA's job is done. It has stood as a code for how to do that. But messenger RNA now is its own code, and it goes on to stand for how to make a protein. Proteins are one of four kinds of large biological molecules that cells produce, and we'll talk about those four in a minute. Proteins do almost all the important jobs in cells, and therefore in organisms. Okay, so since messenger RNA is usually the kind of RNA that's being produced according to the instructions in the DNA, and since messenger RNA is a code for how to make proteins, that means DNA, largely, is a code for how indirectly to make proteins via messenger RNA. Okay? And that's the one major function. I mean, that's the first major function of two DNA functions, to stand for the code to how to indirectly make proteins. And the reason that's so important is because of all the important things, and which is a various list, that proteins do. Now, most people, even never having taken any science, know enough about DNA just from its popularity in the news that they say, you know, most people are able to recognize that DNA determines your characteristics. Right? That's what people like to say. And that's true, but that's really only true indirectly because of what I just said. What actually directly gives you your characteristics, the way you look, the way you smell, the things you're able to do, how you're able to think, all of those characteristics you have are because of the kinds of proteins that you're able to make, because it's the proteins that directly give you your characteristics. All right, but DNA is involved because your cell is only, even though there's no limit to the number of proteins that are possible, your cells are only able to make the kind of proteins that they have instructions for how to make. And that's what the DNA is. It's instructions for how to make a specific set of proteins, which is determined when you're born. The DNA you're given determines the only kinds of proteins that you're going to be able to make, and therefore, that's going to indirectly determine what kind of person you are. Everything about you is because of those proteins, but indirectly, because of your DNA. All right, so that's one major function, and that's the function of DNA within the lifetime of the cell. While the cell is just busy doing whatever that kind of cell does, that's what it uses the DNA for. As a library, storing codes for how to make the proteins that are required by that cell. The other one is about the next generation of cells. So we're, you know, even though we as an individual last a certain amount of time called our lifetime, during that one lifetime, cells are continuously being made and dying within your body. You're not the same set of cells that you were yesterday, let alone years ago. You're always building new cells, and cells in your body are always dying. So in order to make new cells and have them live and have them function, these new cells need to have their own DNA in them. Cells come from pre-existing cells. They don't just pop into existence. And when they're produced two at a time, because they're produced when one cell that already exists ends its own life by splitting into two brand new cells. All right? Now, if that's going to happen and both of those cells is going to be able to make the proteins required to live, then both of those cells needs to have a full library of DNA. Which means if one cell is going to produce two completely functional cells, the first thing it better do before it splits is make an exact copy of its entire library of DNA. And so that's the second major function of DNA. It's able to self-replicate. Self-replication is a special ability of DNA. Simply means that it's able to make an exact copy of itself. One for each of the two cells. What about it?
You just stated that a cell comes from another cell based off of DNA. And is that self-replication an example?
Self-replication occurs before the cells are born. So one cell that is basically at the end of its own lifetime, it's an old cell, in a sense, it gets a signal saying, okay, your lifetime is over. Start to prepare to make two brand new cells by splitting. Before it's able to do that, though, it needs to copy its own DNA so that for a moment it's one cell with two copies of DNA, where it only needs one for itself. It has two copies because when it splits, each of the two daughter cells is going to have its own copy. Self-replication is the copying of that DNA. So it's a preparatory step that comes before splitting, but it's not actually the creation of the cells. The creation of the cells is a technique of cell division, and there's various kinds, like mitosis and meiosis, for instance, are cell division techniques. All right, those are the two major functions of DNA. And DNA is a large molecule, which is why it's an example of what we call macromolecules. Macro simply means large. Biological macromolecules are large molecules that you find in living things, in cells, in other words. And although there's many more than four kinds of molecules that you find in cells, most of those cells are run-of-the-mill small. I mean, most of those molecules are run-of-the-mill small molecules, like water molecules, for instance, or even some atoms and ions. But there's only four kinds of large molecules that any kind of living cell contains, not just humans. DNA is an example of one of those four kinds of macromolecules. All right? I'll give you the list of four in a minute, but while we're still on the slide that shows DNA, it's not only a macromolecule, it's very large. It's made out of millions of atoms, just one molecule. And despite being made of millions of atoms, you have 46 of those in each of your cells. So that gives you an appreciation of how small atoms are. Cells are invisibly small. The nucleus within that cell is even smaller. And packed within that nucleus are 46 DNA molecules, each of which consists of millions of atoms. Plus, you have a bunch of other stuff in the nucleus as well. So atoms are truly tiny, and DNA molecules are tiny as well from our point of view, but compared to most molecules, they're huge. This picture shows you just a tiny little piece of the overall length of a DNA molecule. They are linear molecules. They're arranged end-to-end. When they're assembled out of the building blocks they're made out of, they're put end to end, and so they, if you stretched them out, they don't stay stretched out in the cell, of course, but if you were, they would have two ends to them. this arrangement of their shape is called a double helix. And you've probably heard that in the news as well. They are double helical molecules, but a helix is simply a corkscrew shape. All right? A double helix refers to the fact that there are two separate corkscrews connected to each other, not end to end to make a longer corkscrew, but side by side. So you see a little bit of that right here. The right part of this slide shows you just one of two strands that make up one DNA molecule. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. Now notice the ending part of that, the part that the NA stands for, nucleic acid. Nucleic acids are one of the four kinds of biological macromolecules. And I still haven't given you the other three, but I will. There's two major kinds of nucleic acids. DNA is one of them, deoxyribonucleic acid. The other one is RNA, which I've already mentioned, which stands for just ribonucleic acid. DNA molecules have two strands, which is why they have two helices. That's the plural of helix. Okay, each strand is a corkscrew shape, but there are two of them making up one DNA molecule. RNA, on the other hand, is a single strand. And we'll talk about RNAs later in more detail. This is just one of those two strands of DNA, though. And it's been untwisted so you can just see it more easily for what it really is. A sequence of letters is how it's represented here. Each of these letters, which is one building block of a DNA molecule, is called a nucleotide. And so a DNA molecule is millions of nucleotides long. Okay, we'll talk more about how those nucleotides operate as codes in a different chapter or a different unit. Why do you suppose these things are called nucleic acids? Yeah.
It's an acid in the nucleus?
Exactly. Nucleic simply means of the nucleus. That's where, at least in eukaryotic cells, you find the DNA, in the nucleus. So that's why they called them nucleic acids. Okay. Let's go to slide 12 then and finally list these four kinds of macromolecules that I was talking about. Four classes of biological macromolecules. Notice that one of those is what we've already mentioned, nucleic acids. The other three are also the three major nutrient classes in foods that you eat. So there's three major kinds of large molecules that you get nutrition from. Those are three of the four biological macromolecules that living things are made out of. So we have lipids, polysaccharides, proteins, and nucleic acids. Now, three of these are not only macromolecules, they are classified as polymers. What does poly mean? Many, right? And mer means part. So polymers are large molecules that are made by putting together, in certain ways, a bunch of little subunits that might be identical to each other or might be similar to each other, but not identical. Does anyone know which one of these four is not technically a polymer, even though it is a macromolecule? What'd you say?
Lipids
is correct, yes. Lipids are large molecules compared to most molecules. They're smaller than the others, though, and they're built differently, so they are not polymers. These other three are, though. Well, polymer is a general word. It simply means, it's a big class of molecules. But any given polymer, as the name implies, is made by stringing together a bunch of one-part things, which are called monomers. And that's true for all these three after lipids. Polysaccharides are sugars. They are complex sugars because they're made by hooking together a bunch of simple sugars. So polysaccharides are polymers that are made out of monomers, like any polymer. But what do you suppose the monomers are called that make up polysaccharides? Monosaccharides. Yeah, saccharides is even more general. That just means sugar. A monosaccharide is a one-part sugar that is useful in its own right, but when you string a bunch of them together, you make a polysaccharide. And an example of that would be starch, which plants make, or glycogen, which is very similar to starch, but we as animals make that instead of starch. We do it for the same reason, though, to store that sugar. Proteins are polymers, and therefore they're made out of monomers. Anyone know what the monomers that make up proteins are called? They're the things that you need to string together to make a protein, but they're also the things that you get when you break down a protein that you've eaten.
Amino acids?
Right. Good. Amino acids are the building blocks or the monomers that make up proteins. And we'll talk more about amino acids later. There's a lot to be said about that.
Like polysaccharides?
Yeah.
Like, it would be a sugar, but what would be the main word for proteins?
That is the main word.
Amino acids?
No, proteins is.
Oh, okay.
Amino acids are just the building blocks of the proteins, but proteins is a word that describes that whole class of molecules.
And the main thing is you have to have DNA, or is that just for you have some type of nucleic acid?
For a cell to make a protein, it has to have instructions for how to do that. That's what the DNA is.
Okay, so you don't actually need DNA to make protein?
Not in the laboratory. Okay. Technically, you don't. I mean, you need the building blocks, the amino acids.
Okay.
You know, just technically speaking, you don't need any DNA to build a protein. You just need amino acids as raw materials. But to make a specific kind of protein, you have to know the order in which to arrange the different amino acids. So you don't just randomly assemble amino acids and get the protein that has the right shape to do what you want it to do. To assemble them with the correct order, which is like building a necklace out of beads. You have 20 different beads to work with. Those are the amino acid types. But you also need to put them in the correct order and have a correct length of the overall necklace. That's what DNA tells you. All right, and speaking of DNA, which is a nucleic acid, nucleic acids are also polymers, and I've already told you what their monomers are. They are called nucleotides. That's true for both kinds of nucleic acids, both DNA and RNA. At this point, the main difference I want you to know between DNA and RNA is that DNA is double-stranded. It consists of two strands of nucleotides, whereas RNA is made out of one strand. All right. Any questions on those four kinds? Then I think we're done because we've already gone through tools of biotechnology. And did you have questions, someone?
Yeah. What were lipids?
Oh, I didn't say much about lipids yet. Lipids are they're kind of a diverse group of macromolecules. They include fats. I'm glad you asked this because I should have said this originally. Now, a lot of people use the words fat and lipid interchangeably. That's not correct. Lipids is a bigger group than fats. So all fats are lipids, but not all lipids are fats. There's other kinds of lipids, like things that are called phospholipids that make up most of what your plasma membranes in your cells are made out of. But also oils and waxes, things like that are all of those things are lipids. Lipids, even though they're kind of diverse, have the common characteristic that they don't like being around water. They don't mix with water. A word that describes that property of not mixing well with water is hydrophobic, which literally means fearing water. Of course, they don't really have any fear, but that's what we use chemically to mean something that doesn't mix well with water. Okay, any other questions? Now, if you looked at the syllabus for today, and you always should, notice that it was scheduled to be the second part of this slideshow, which we just finished, and then also the products from biotechnology. Well, we already did that in a previous day. So we're done with the lecture part, and that means all we need to do is the laboratory part. Does anyone want to take a little break before we do that? Was that a sure? Okay. All right, let's take 5 minutes, or let's go until 10 till exactly.